listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm your host for today's program, Peggy Hartshorn, Chairman of the Board of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And we have a program today that is near and dear to my heart, and I believe it will be to yours. And it relates particularly to the subject of pregnancy help. Not all of our programs do, but as we discuss on the Family Sanctuary, God's plan that the family be the sanctuary of life, occasionally we get to share a beautiful story of how God works in that family sanctuary, and particularly in the womb of the mother, as she in this day and age is debating what to do with an unintended pregnancy. And if you've ever wondered, why do women sometimes choose abortion when it looks like they have other options? And they may even be from a pro-life family. They may even be from a Christian family or a Catholic family. A Christian Catholic family, I should say. So what goes through a woman's mind when she has such a crisis pregnancy? And what is that struggle between good and evil? And I really believe that is that struggle that's going on between good and evil in a woman's mind and heart when she's faced sometimes with a crisis pregnancy. So today we have Nadia. Welcome, Nadia.
Hi, thank you.
Nadia is with us from Lebanon, Ohio. And we got to know Nadia through the pregnancy center there in Lebanon, Elizabeth's New Life Center, which actually has offices in several different areas in the Dayton area and on towards Cincinnati. And I got to meet Nadia because Nadia and her son Charlie came with Heartbeat International to Washington, D.C. for what we call our Babies Go to Congress, to tell your story to the legislators about the good work of pregnancy centers in their community and to go to the March for Life. So I got to meet Nadia, and I was just so moved by her story that I asked her to make the trip today, and she did, to share it with all of you on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. So Nadia's is a story where I already mentioned Charlie, her beautiful little son, 1.5 years old. I got to meet him. He's just a doll, and sorry we couldn't bring him to the studio today.
he's a little sleepy.
He's a little sleepy, and he would certainly be a distraction, that's for sure, because all eyes and ears would be on Charlie. But Nadia really, with love and support, and you'll hear her story, was able to have Charlie, and she's now finishing her business degree at Liberty University, so congratulations on that, Nadia.
Thank you.
Yeah, your life as you knew it did not come to an end because of that crisis pregnancy. Yeah. And, you know, I was telling Nadia as I was listening to her story again that the research shows that this is exactly the way women feel. And that's the way you felt, Nadia, that if you continued with this pregnancy, it would be the end of your life as you knew it. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like it's my life or the life of my baby. And God will understand if I take this life of the baby. It's difficult for people to understand those feelings. Would you tell us a little bit about how you were feeling when you found out you were pregnant, and tell us the story? What happened as you were wrestling with those feelings?
Sure. So one day I was living my normal routine, and I looked down at this tiny little stick. I saw two thin blue lines next to each other, and I said, "Well, this is different."
A pregnancy test you were looking at.
Right, yes. And I immediately went to the Elizabeth New Life Center for that initial checkup, ultrasound, make sure that I am actually pregnant. And the nurse came back and said, "You're definitely pregnant." Mm-hmm. So she started asking me all the questions. What are your next steps? Do you need help? We can help you. What are you thinking of as far as next plans and such? So we talked a great length, and she helped me so much in kind of putting my footing next and knowing where to go and what to do. And the center has so many resources and services to help pregnant women, especially in crisis, for support and for anything you might need, diapers, strollers, whatnot. So I left feeling encouraged that there was definitely lots of help available. But I went home and I quickly realized that I was completely incapable of raising a baby. I was well into my business degree. I had a really great job. I had some great friends. I was living in my first quote unquote apartment, which was actually just a room that I rented from a house of strangers. I didn't even have my own bathroom. So I sat down and I said, I don't have the resources for a baby. Honestly, I don't really even want a baby right now. And on top of that, there was this shame that I'm pregnant. I'm not married. I shouldn't be pregnant right now. My father's going to kill me. Mm-hmm. My family will disown me. My friends will think I'm ridiculous. So on top of just the actual fact of what it costs to have a baby and the resources you'll need, there was also this grand shame of what are people going to think? I grew up from a very pro-life Christian family. So to have a baby before you're married is a complete and utter sin, but also to have an abortion is just as bad, if not worse. So I felt kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, just saying, either way, I'm going to make people mad. So what if I have an abortion and kind of shrug it under the rug and say, oh, I wasn't pregnant. Or if people found out later, I'll just say, oh, I had a miscarriage. So it was the worst fear in my life that I can remember of having to decide what to do. And also that sparked my interest in abortion, because as much as I knew that it was wrong, and from all my debates with friends or at school against abortion, when it came down to it, I said, I can't have this baby. And the fear just completely took over my life from that point on. So
I think you told me when you were telling me your story that you actually did pro-life presentations in high school.
Yes, yes. Every presentation in high school that we had, I'm Russian, so it was always something about Russia or abortion. Those were my two passions at the time. So
tell us how you came to be in the United States. You say you're Russian.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was actually adopted when I was 8 years old from Siberia, Russia. So it's been a crazy wild ride, and these unpredictable Ohio winters are something else.
From Siberia, did you say, though? Yep. I think of Siberia as having
very cold, very, very cold.
So you thought maybe you would get away from that with your adoption, but you didn't.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all.
But it is interesting, since you were adopted also, that did adoption come into your thinking at all?
Later on in my story, yes. It was actually another big part of that story. So,
but right in the beginning, and again, this is what we know from other stories that we've heard, Nadia, in research, that choosing life is often a two-step process. First of all, you need to choose between continuing the pregnancy and having an abortion. But then what do you choose at that point? All right, after abortion's been ruled out, is it single parenting? Is it marriage? Is it adoption? So adoption usually does not figure into a woman's thinking during the actual crisis of what am I going to do? First of all, she has to rule out abortion, and that was your story as well. So even though you had done pro-life presentations, you knew the facts of fetal development, you had argued in favor of life, were from a Christian family, still that fear that how can I face the consequences? How can I face the shame, you know, of what I've done, whether it's an abortion or whether it's simply getting pregnant when I shouldn't have, both of those alternatives looked equally bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you were struggling, even though you had also visited the pregnancy center and knew there were alternatives. I think it's powerful for people to understand how strong that fear is and that uncertainty. And I think you even said to me, as you were telling me your story a little while ago, rationalization. You knew you were rationalizing. Yeah.
Yes.
But you were still kind of kidding yourself so that you could force yourself toward this abortion in desperation. You know, one of the women who has done quite a bit of research on post-abortion says a woman who chooses abortion often feels like a trapped animal, an animal whose leg is stuck in a trap and he can't get out. So in order to get out, he gnaws off his own leg. So in a way, that's the situation that you were describing, that even though you knew it was wrong, you would do it You would do it to escape from that trap that you felt. So you did then go to Planned Parenthood. Tell us about that, Nadia.
Yeah. So I made that appointment to go to Planned Parenthood, have that initial consultation, and decide next steps from there. And what was interesting was that as I pulled up to the building itself, of course, there were the pro-life people outside with their signs and speaking against it. And for me, the question wasn't whether this was a baby or not. The question wasn't whether this was right or wrong. So I passed those people and I was just trying to shield my face. I was like, listen, I was at least on your side. I'm on your side. I know this is wrong. Like, you're preaching to the choir here. Mm-hmm. So that was really a hard pill to swallow, to be like, I was on that side just yesterday and I don't know what I'm doing. And I go into the building and it's just very cold and unwelcoming, completely the opposite of any pregnancy center that I've been in since. And you had to hand in your ID. There was like security you had to go through. And I go in, and what they don't tell you is abortions are very expensive. Just the initial consultation is very expensive. So I feel like I've heard all my life, and a lot of women go into it thinking, oh, this is like completely free. Wipe your hands, you're done. And they think you'll just go in, you'll get this procedure done, and that's it. But you have to pay for everything. And so I go in, I pay all my dues, and I sit down with a group of women that are all waiting for the same thing. And they're all from different backgrounds, different history, stories, and whatnot. And they're all talking about their current babies or the babies they've previously aborted or the babies that they're having now. And what was interesting was not a single woman in that facility ever used the terminology of fetus or massive cells or tissue or anything like that. It was always baby, strictly baby.
Of course, you would notice that too, because you used to do pro-life debates.
Right. So
is this a baby?
Exactly. And so I was actually curious, and I was waiting for somebody to say like, oh, well, this isn't a baby. This is completely justified. Not a single woman. Every single woman there knew exactly what was happening, knew exactly what she was going in for. And that was also another hard thing for me to swallow, sitting there saying, this is yet again, I feel like God telling me, hey, turn around. Come on. You know,
you're hearing
you know
it's a baby from everyone else.
Exactly. You know better. And so I went into the consultation. They took another ultrasound, and I had a choice between taking a photo of the ultrasound home with me or not. And of course, I decided to. And so I went in the lobby once more to wait for the last minute paperwork and such. And a girl next to me, she said, why do you have a photo of your baby with you? You do know that it's harder to go through with this if you have a reminder. And I honestly didn't say anything back. I was like, wow, you know this is a baby. You are clearly in the same position and trying to rationalize it or justify it or just kind of forget about it. So again, I just kind of sat back. I was like, okay. And this, to me, it was, again, God reminding me like, hey, you know what you need to do. What are you doing here? This is not your place. But against my own conscience and everything, the fear that was ruling me was so strong, I went ahead and made the next appointment. And I told myself, part of the rationalizing that we spoke about earlier was, I told myself I would much rather bear the burden of this memory and this grave sin than have to tell my parents that, hey, I can't finish school because I'm pregnant and I'm not married, or tell my boss, hey, I have to quit my job that you just promoted me at because I'm pregnant and I'm not married. And all that fear was just eating away at me. So
disappointing the people that loved you and had given you opportunities. And,
Right. So the fear was intense.
Let me reintroduce our guest today. This is Peggy Hartshorn on the Family Sanctuary. And we have a wonderful guest, Nadia, who I didn't mention earlier is a beautiful 22-year-old young lady who made the choice of life for her son, Charlie, who's a year and a half. I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting him when we went to Babies Go to Congress and the March for Life. And Nadia's story is a powerful story of how women are so overcome often with fear and confusion. You know, we sometimes hear people say, how could a woman ever choose an abortion? And particularly Nadia was from a Christian family, had given pro-life debates, heard women in Planned Parenthood, as you've just shared, also talk about their babies. And yet that fear, that pressure was so strong that you paid your money, you got your counseling at Planned Parenthood, you scheduled the abortion. All right. And then because we do have waiting periods in Ohio, you had to wait. Mm-hmm. All right. Schedule the abortion. So tell us what happened as you waited for that morning of the abortion.
Well, when I made the final appointment for the abortion at Planned Parenthood, I had to call the pregnancy help center and I said, hey, listen, I know I have a scheduled appointment, but I'm not going to be able to make it. I gave the nurse on the phone a quick overview of what was going on my mind and what I was planning on next. And honestly, the most incredible part was not once did I ever hear from her, like, how dare you or how could you or finger wagging. It was always she immediately said, can I pray for you? And so she prayed for me.
This is the pregnancy center.
Yes, the pregnancy center. She prayed for me. She said, hey, listen, I'm here. Like, please call me. I want to support you. I want to help you. And so right away, there was just so much acceptance and love. And she just wanted to help me. Obviously, she said, you've got a few days before this appointment. I urge you, I beg you to really consider this decision because it is a huge decision. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to hate you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here to love you and help you. So I'm here. And so I hung up the phone and just sobbing in my car on my way to work because this was just such a war in my head. And so the morning of that appointment, I had set my alarm for about 5:30 a.m. and the appointment itself was at 8 a.m. So I said, I have hours and hours to get ready before I even have to leave. So the night before, I didn't really sleep. I was just wrestling with this. And I woke up at 5:30 and I sat on my bed and I looked at the clock and I was like, ooh, I've got plenty of time. I can shower. I can eat. I can brush my teeth. I can actually do my hair and put on some makeup. And I started this list in my head of all the things I had to do before I had to leave that morning. And I just kept repeating the list over and over and over again. And I looked again and I had an hour left before I had to leave. And I kept repeating this list to me. And it never once did I consider, like, why am I not actually getting up and doing anything? I'm just sitting in my bed looking at the clock. And I just kept repeating the list, and eventually I looked at the clock, and I hadn't moved from my bed. I hadn't even put my feet on the floor yet. I was just sat on my bed, and I looked at the clock, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning. It was the exact time that I had to be at my appointment, and I had completely missed it. I didn't make any attempt to even get out of bed, to go to the appointment, not a thought in my mind to actually do the things that I was telling myself to in the steps. And it was at that moment, there's this grand just relief left my shoulders, this decision that I thought I had to actually make to have my baby or to abort my baby was, honestly, it was almost as if someone took that decision away from me and said, hey, you're done. You're done. You tried this. And I looked down at that moment and I looked at my stomach and I said, well, hey, kiddo, I guess I'm going to see you in a couple more months. So it was the most surreal morning I think I've ever experienced. And it was a God thing altogether.
Yeah, I've never heard a story like that, Nadia. It's amazing to me that you were sitting on the bed going over everything you had to do, mm-hmm. but your brain never said, put your feet on the floor and get up and walk. It was you were stuck there.
Uh-huh. And I didn't know it.
And then at 8 o'clock, you realized the appointment time was had come and gone.
Right. I'd never once even try to call back and reschedule the appointment or try to get my money back. I wiped my hands of it. I said, that was a mistake. I'm done. Not looking back.
Amazing. And to me, it's an example of God's intervention because of prayer, mm-hmm. you know, and the prayer of the people there at the pregnancy center. I'm sure your parents' prayer. Mm-hmm. In fact, you told me that your dad suspected you might be pregnant.
Yeah, we had breakfast one morning and I was just in the middle of sipping orange juice. And this was in the middle of my debate whether to have an abortion or not to have an abortion. And my dad, the week prior, I'd helped him move some furniture and I was a little tired. So I just crashed on his couch and took a little nap, which is unlike me. I'm usually full of energy. And he says, hey, so you seemed pretty tired last week. Are you okay? Is everything all right? I was like, yeah, you know, I'm just busy with work and school. He's like, yeah, that also happens when you're pregnant. And he looked at me and I basically spit my orange juice out all over him. I was like, I didn't know what to say. And so at that point, my dad knew that I was pregnant and that I was, you know, debating on life or not. And so that was another big part of that decision because I was like, well, everybody knows now. Like, I can't, I guess, hide it. And my rationale was just that I would tell everybody that I had a miscarriage. And I'll say, oh, hey, Dad, of course I didn't make the appointment. I just, oops. So again, the fear of disappointment and not living up to my goals and completely destroying my life, which I thought was going to happen, was ruling all of my decisions at that time. And
But the prayers of your dad, of the pregnancy center people, and maybe your own prayers. Maybe along the way you were shooting up a prayer, God, I wish I didn't have to do this, but I know I do. God really intervened. I think it's a phenomenal story. And it reminds me too, Nadia, of what I've seen in helping so many girls through the years with pregnancy help. And my husband and I started housing girls in our home in 1975. And many of them made adoption plans. Many of them, in fact, it was about half made adoption plans and half had their babies and either married or were single moms. But I have experienced with girls through the years, once abortion is out of the question for one reason or another, the relief is just tremendous. Because oddly enough, so many women think because it's legal, maybe this is a good alternative. Maybe it's good for me, as you mentioned with your goals. Maybe even if I don't want to do it, it's better for my parents. They're not going to have to help and support me. Maybe it's better for my boyfriend. He won't have to drop out of school. We won't have to marry early and he can achieve his goals. Girls are very, very confused when they have adoption. When they have abortion as that legal option. And other people are saying to them, this is the smart thing to do. Or they're hearing the research that you mentioned earlier. Well, often women who have a baby out of wedlock before they're married or when they're young don't finish school. They can't achieve their goals. They hear that and they get so concerned that that's going to happen to them. So having abortion as a legal option and as an option that's touted as the smart thing to do really, really confuses women. And I can see it so much in your story. Once that option was gone, the appointment's over, I missed the appointment. I think you said you felt a gigantic burden had been lifted.
Absolutely.
And welcome, Charlie.
I can't remember life before him. My life is so much better with him.
Yeah. That's another thing we often hear in our pregnancy centers, that I didn't save my baby's life. My baby saved my life.
Yes.
But you are on the same path you were on. You're finishing your business education. You're still working.
I'm done with my degree this summer, finally. And it didn't take me any longer, honestly, like a semester longer, if that. But I just kept pushing through. And I work as a paralegal now at a law office. So, I mean, my fear was I'm never going to get a good job. I'm never going to finish my degree. I'm never going to do anything that I ever wanted. And I'm doing more than I ever could have really imagined. So,
and you do still have support of family, of course.
Yes.
And even of Charlie's father. So God is working in that relationship as well. So it is a beautiful story of, I think, illustrating the real conflict that sensitive, faith-filled, wonderful girls and women go that they experience in this battle of between the light and the darkness as they're struggling with what decision is they're going to make. And I love the fact that God just intervened and somehow stuck you there in that bed until after 8 o'clock. And so I think it's wonderful, Nadia, too. You got to come to the March for Life in 2018. And actually, we're in the Rose Garden when President Trump spoke to the marchers, which was a historic event. How did that feel?
That was wild all around. I felt like it was very spur of the moment and kind of last.
It was spur of the moment. Yeah.
Yes. We finally got the call that morning and she was like, make sure you're in the lobby. And it was incredible. I could have never imagined that would have ever happened. So,
and not only did God save Charlie's life and saved your life from having to choose abortion and all those consequences that would have followed, but to have that kind of affirmation of standing with other moms who had also chosen life for their babies in that historic moment and being right there as he spoke to the March for Life, I just thought it was amazing. And in all those pictures, I see you standing there.
Didn't think that was going to happen.
I hear Charlie was running around on the White House lawn, though. He didn't want to stand still for the president's talk.
No, he did not want to stand still. It was nap time. He was hungry. He just did not want to stand still.
Wasn't it one of the Secret Service men, did I hear, was out on the lawn playing with him?
Yeah. Yep. You got an experience of a lifetime for sure.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of all the people there who experienced that moment too, seeing the moms and babies. Mm-hmm. What an affirmation it was of life for them as well, and the courage of women like you who, despite all the pressures, choose life, and how God honors that and has honored that with your beautiful baby, Charlie. He is absolutely darling.
Thank you.
A year and a half now, and he's so friendly.
Yes.
I wish he would have stood up there with you because mm-hmm. he's such a ham. If you say hi to him, he just waves and smiles.
His new favorite word. He goes, hi, to everybody he meets all day long.
Well, Nadia, I really appreciate you coming and telling your story. What would you say to girls and women and families who may be listening now to your story about that, about your choice for life?
I would honestly say that if you're found in that position that I was, it is not the end of the world to have your baby at all. It was not the end of the world for me. It's not the end of the world for you. And there are so many other better options, and mm-hmm. you'll love your life with or without.
That expression is always darkest mm-hmm. before the light,
yes.
before the dawn. That's a story, goes with your story, Nadia. Thank you again for being with us. And for sharing so courageously and for your choice for life. And thank you all for listening. You're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with archives at stgabrielradio.com. This is the Family Sanctuary, and I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn. Our program is broadcast at 12:30 every Monday and 2 o'clock on Sundays. So join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.